Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Rafael Stone played the Kevin Durant trade perfectly, and we're going to hear why in just a couple of minutes here. Brian Windhorst on how Kevin Durant handled his end of it to help make this a really good deal for the Rockets. This was back on May 21st. This was Rafael Stone, I believe right after he did his press conference to end the season. He and Ime Udoka met with the media, and Stone in that press conference said a couple of things that were interesting. He said, bet on continuity, which if you had bet on continuity, you would have lost your money. And also kind of dismissed those stats, the data that one of the reporters brought up about all the lineups the Rockets had and all the ones that didn't have Jalen Green in them were the best performing lineups. So he kind of dismissed that.
Oh, that's right. He thought it was dumb.
Rafael Stone poured a lot of cold water on things in that press conference. Shortly thereafter, he did an interview with Vanessa Richardson, Rocket sideline reporter on Space City Home Network. And Vanessa asked him about the what's the bar that needs to be cleared in order for a trade for a superstar to happen.
Versus getting a superstar. I'm not going to ask you what you're going to do because I know that you wouldn't tell me. But what factors play into that decision?
Well, the superstar thing is like it's largely in the NBA, it's largely points, which is at least as much points are a factor of who shoots. Some of that is like offense driven. So it ends up being cyclical. Like, you know, if you engineer your offense around one player, they're going to score more. They're going to get more assists. I don't think that's in Ime's DNA. So some of this is like just how we're going to go about it. I think we're going to be a team focused team. That doesn't mean we won't do a trade for a really talented player. But I also think we have really, really talented players on this roster. And I think they're all improving. And so before we trade one or two or three or four of those guys for a more veteran guy, we want to make sure that we give this current group room to grow. The huge caveat to all of that is the job is to win championships. That is my one and only goal. And if we think there's a better path than continuity, we would pursue it. But right now, that bar is pretty high.
Okay, bar's high, but it was cleared this weekend.
Right, and the bar really wasn't that high in terms of what they had to give up. Right. I think that's the biggest thing is that any notion that somehow the Rockets were just going to sell the farm to go after Kevin Durant – I think would have been a bad notion to have. If the price had been, as it one time was, the Suns at one time were understandably hoping to get multiple impact players, young star players, whatever it might be, and the Rockets are loaded with guys with huge potential there. What we feared was, oh man, the picks are the picks, and I don't worry too much about the first round picks, but if they were to give up two or three of their young core players, that would be bad. That would be just trying way too hard to bring a guy into a situation that isn't as fertile and doesn't have as much potential with just the addition of one piece. I think nothing that Rafael Stone said there seems to contradict what they ended up doing.
The bar has to be
the right situation if you're going to go after a superstar, and they didn't have to give up an arm and leg to get Kevin Durant.
Yeah, no, that cut almost lays out exactly what happened, you know, which is, hey, we love these guys, but the bar is kind of high, but I got to win championships. Colin, if you could play the most interesting part of that cut to me, and we don't need to play the whole thing, I'll down cue you on it, but play it from the beginning again.
Is at least as much points are a factor of who shoots. Some of that is like offense driven. So it ends up being cyclical. Like, you know, if you engineer your offense around one player, they're going to score more. They're going to get more assists. I don't think that's in Ime's DNA.
There you go. Right there. That's the interesting part to me. is where in that, and that was the interesting part when Raphael Stone said that, which is, I don't think, talking about getting a superstar and having that guy be the center of the universe,
yeah,
I don't think that's in Ime's DNA. I was pointing that out the first time as evidence that there wouldn't be a trade. I think it's interesting now that the trade has been made, one, that Ime Udoka is obviously very fond of this particular superstar. So what changes here? Ime's DNA, or does Kevin Durant, you know, is Kevin Durant walking into a situation where he's going to be more blending into an ensemble than it's going to be this KD-centric thing? That's the part that sounds like it's not in Ime's DNA, is bringing in somebody who all of a sudden is going to be the focal point with the ball in his hands all the time.
Right, that everything's got to revolve around me. And that's where James Harden wouldn't have been a great fit for developing the kind of ball that Ime Udoka wants to play. Whereas with Durant, I don't worry at all about Durant coming in and all of a sudden demanding that, you know, everything revolve around him. And it is important to note, too, when I've been saying he immediately makes the offense better.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, obviously it's never as simple as just plucking a guy in there, but they got to work on all the teamwork elements of it. But he immediately addresses a lot of the issues that were holding the Rockets back last year. But we also, in why this doesn't just lay out a perfect path to a championship, is that those young players do have to continue to develop. Şengün has to continue to develop. Amen Thompson is potential future superstar. He's got to diversify a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it's not like it's as simple and cut and dry as, oh, this was the missing piece. But you can very clearly see the path. There are obstacles in the way. But it just makes a lot of sense without having to really think about it too hard.
One of the guys that just went out the door in the deal was your leading scorer. So it's not like he's having to squeeze in and find his shots. A bunch of shots just went out the door with Jalen Green. So there are shots to be had. You and I spent part of the show yesterday talking about some of the deals the Rockets have made over the last 10 or so years to try to get over the hump. Granted, the three trades we were comparing this to were all done in the Daryl Morey era, but I think it's worth bringing up. Those three trades involved some degree of having to adapt style and having to adapt roles with guys, because Daryl was big on just getting talent in the building and then we'll figure out the schematic stuff. This is as seamless as it gets for me when it comes to bringing in a future Hall of Fame, still very productive player. Dwight Howard, you had to adapt because he thought he was Hakeem Olajuwon at times. Chris Paul, you had to adapt just because you had two primary ball handlers on the floor with him and James Harden. And then Russell Westbrook, you practically had to tear down your team just to accommodate the fact that he couldn't shoot the ball outside of 10 feet.
Yeah, you had to trade away Clint Capella.
Yeah.
There was no place for Capella.
You had to play a small ball lineup
the whole time. That's right, yeah. Remember the COVID small ball era?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember those electrifying 3 weeks in February where it felt like, this is the path.
I was at the very first game in L.A. It was my bachelor party. We went to see the Rockets play the Lakers and the Suns.
Uh-huh.
And I was at the very first game after the Clint Capella trade, and they blew out the Lakers in L.A. And I remember being talking to some Rockets people like, oh, take that, critics. And then they lost by 40 the next night to Phoenix.
Microball.
Yeah. But this is, if we're comparing it to these other times where the team, granted a different group of Rockets, but it brought in superstars, this is as seamless as it gets. Durant slides right in here, man. Durant, and makes everybody better in the process. So I'm excited about this. How did the price get so low on Kevin Durant? Well, according to Brian Windhorst, it's because Kevin Durant himself was able to drive the price down.
The Rockets had this happen because Kevin Durant controlled this process. Last winter, the Warriors were ready to trade for him, and he said, I don't want to go there, and they backed off. Last week, the Timberwolves were on the verge of trading for him.
I don't want to go there.
And Ant Edwards could have tried to talk him into it. He did not. He said, that's not my place. KD, you do what you do. And so the price came down. The Rockets moved in. Mm. That's how you elevate yourself as a team. Mm-hmm. You buy low, and you have a great opportunity.
You know, it's really like a Jane Austen novel. It was that, you know, they're... the sons were desperate to marry off their daughter because she's an old hag by now. You know, you got to come on. You got to get married. And Kevin Durant keeps saying, no. That's just like I'm a different gal. OK, I'm ahead of my time. I'm going to decide who I go to.
Yep.
And he waited until the perfect, handsome young gentleman who was both successful and polite, had impeccable manners, and could cite Shakespeare and all that, came along, and it was the Houston Rockets.
And that man's name was Alperen Şengün. Yes.
Yes.
That's who I like to, that's who I like to envision that description describing.
I'm so happy.
Yeah. The funniest part of that cut to me was from Windhorst was when Anthony Edwards could have tried to talk him into it to going to Minnesota and chose not to. I respect Anthony Edwards. That is a hard sell on somebody that doesn't want to go to Minnesota to come to Minnesota of all places. Anthony Edwards knew his he knew what lane to stay in.
Remember how impressed Carlos Correa was with Minnesota?
Oh,
he said, "Well, we have Netflix. Yeah, you know, I can't get that
anywhere else.
I can depart this city in my mind anytime I want with Netflix."
Yeah. And then he departed twice, once to San Fran and once to the Mets. They both flunked him on his physical, and then he went back because the Twins offered him the most money.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind living in Minneapolis. I don't think I might take a 2-year sabbatical in Minneapolis. I think
It's not bad.
It's my favorite of the Canadian cities. I would say I would go live in Minneapolis, Toronto,
Green Bay.
Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like those are the Canadian cities where I feel like, okay, the climate in the summer is probably a little bit nicer. And
Madison, Wisconsin, very underrated. It's a good town.
Yes.
Good
Canada. I don't think of Wisconsin as Canada. Minneapolis, for some reason, I think of it as
feels Canada. Like Canada to
Minnesota
you.
Minnesota in general, yeah.
Yeah. Last one here. This is Shams, Sharanya. So we looked at the past, you know, Rafael Stone hinting at something like this. We looked at the present, the trade actually going down. Now let's look to the future. Shams Charania gets us a little excited here, says KD may take less than the max when the extension time comes around.
Kevin Durant is eligible for, I think it's a 2-year, $121 million extension. Like, will it be all of that? Will it be a part of that? Like, it would not surprise me to see how, you know, Kevin Durant is approaching this. This is a partnership. I think there's a goal in mind here to end his career in Houston on both sides, on both fronts. And how can both sides be best suited to do that in a way? Pat, in the NBA now, like we're throwing words like second apron, first apron. I mean, what the NBA is dealing with right now, what teams are dealing with is essentially some version of a hard cap. And so how can he make it easy on Houston? How can Houston do right by him? I think that will be a conversation at some point this offseason.
Okay, do you think it's more likely, Seth? I 100% think that KD and his representation have talked contract with the Rockets. 100%.
Yeah.
The future looks like.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you had to bet, do you think that KD is here on a max contract, that 2-year, 120, whatever it was, or does Kevin Durant play ball with the Rockets to try to keep them below that second apron that they talk about that essentially creates a hard cap on teams?
Boy, I got to separate my wants from my needs here and be realistic about it. It's a hard day for me to kind of just accept reality where Jeremy Pena is looking like a guy who might only be here a couple of years after this at most. I think that Kevin Durant, is he going to drive a hard bar? Is he going to play at a discount? He doesn't feel like a play at a discount type of guy.
He doesn't. He doesn't.
So I'm gonna say realistic, and I will not hold it against him. I think it's more likely that he gets the max.
I was really hoping you would say that you thought he would take less than the max.
So you could set me up for disappointment.
No. Because that means we will have done a show today in which we predict that Jeremy Pena, beloved former postseason MVP of the city, is going to be a mercenary. And Kevin Durant, of all people, who up until like 3 days ago, everybody hated him here in town, is going to be this benevolent, philanthropic, making sure that the Fertittas get taken care of in this whole thing, taking a pay cut.
I feel like the deal is already agreed to in principle. I think there's a real good chance that they already had it all hammered out. There was enough time, and the groundwork was laid. As you pointed out, the Ime Udoka extension might have been more about creating the ideal scenario for Kevin Durant than it was about some kind of reaction to James Dolan trying to put his dirty mitts all over us.
Yeah.
The re-signing of Steven Adams, which they could have done regardless, but Durant really likes Steven Adams. I feel like part of all that might have been, okay, in theory or in principle, we have a good idea of what the contract's going to look like.
I will say this, that you lay it out that way, bringing up Udoka, Steven Adams gets re-signed. Royal Ivy, Texas guy, remained on the staff. Probably could have gone to some other place. Very highly thought of assistant on Udoka's staff. DJ Augustine coming in and being part of the front office here. Another guy with history with Durant. If ever there were a scenario, and by the way, a good team with a good nucleus that I think has the potential to win an NBA title. If ever there were a situation that were set up for Durant to go, all right, give me 45 a year, not 60. It would be this. That's a lot of money, though, man.
That's a lot of money.
Even for somebody with a lot of money, that's a lot of money.
Durant's pretty frugal. The entire time he was in Oklahoma City, he lived in a duplex. It wasn't like he had a huge mansion or anything. I mean, frugal by professional athlete standards, maybe. I don't know. That's a hard one. I hate even forecasting that because it almost turns it into like, is this guy selfless?
If he doesn't do it, you're mad at the guy. Yeah,
I'm not going to be mad at him if he gets the max available or allowable.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast, with you on a Tuesday. Do y'all think Thompson will be demonstrably better than Green when it's all said and done? I'm assuming Thompson is Amen Thompson. I think he's demonstrably better than Jalen Green right now. Until they acquired Kevin Durant, he was the best player on the team, including Şengün, in my opinion.
My four-person power ranking of Thompsons would be Amen Thompson, the Thompson twins at 2 and 3, and then Jalen Green below with those three. So it's a three-person Thompson.
Jalen Green Thompson.
By Jalen Green.
Yeah.
Thompson twins actually twins?
The group, the singers were actually a three-person group, if I'm not mistaken, which is ironic. I'll double check.
They not
that.
Understand the way, like, just nomenclature.
Possibly
works
not,
in
but they
families.
Made a couple. They okay. made a couple good one-hit wonder. Amen Thompson himself is a twin. I would put Asar Thompson.
That's right.
Yeah.
So in twins named Thompson rankings, both Thompson brothers above the Thompson twins.
Bingo. Yes. Yeah. Hell yeah. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Coming up next, CJ Stroud was at Fanatics Fest. Remember when he gave Caleb Williams unwanted advice after a Texans game earlier this season? He got asked to give Caleb Williams advice again. There's a funny part to this. But then the full cut, he actually gave the full advice he would give to Caleb and other young quarterbacks. Also, expectations for 2025 for CJ. What are they? We will get to that coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.